women into uncontrolled hysteria, who prey upon the innocence of children.
Shock Tales with Johnny Thunder.
The wonder of it isn't all a dream, a nightmare.
You might know him as the star of Johnny Thunder versus Mecha Johnny Thunder. It's the grand high minister of all that is sinister, Johnny Thunder.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man, so are you a little disappointed about Bubba's retirement?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not retired. I just didn't go back this season. Just for some, you know, just like different personal reasons and stuff that I really don't want to get into. And it's not virus related. It was just, you know, like I said, I had done it for 10 years and just decided to take the season off. So I'm okay for right now, you know, and it is what it is.
Hey, man, do you have a sponsor? Did you go out and do some work and get a sponsor?
Of course not.
For your side of the lunacy?
No. Of course not.
Well, then just
so what about you?
Make something up on the spot, like you typically.
Oh, well, no. I mean, I'm just drinking my usual Bell's Two Hearted Ale, so, you know. But I look forward to the 1 ounce.
Eddie.
Yeah, I look forward to the 1 ounce of effort that you always put into this segment. So I'm going to sit back, and now I'm going to give out my line. What about you, genius?
Oh, sponsoring my redonkulousness is the Foxy Lady Gentleman's Club. Oddly, there's not a gentleman to be found on the premises. Open at 7 a.m. for steak and legs. They guarantee every visit to the champagne room will end happy. Wink, wink. The Foxy Lady.
They actually do have good steaks. But... All right. That's enough out of you. So, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Last Bar on the Left. This is the big Halloween spooktacular on ice, all nude. Luckily for you, it's radio only. All right, let's get right to it. We're going to start off with some Putrid Prince. The first thing I want to talk about is a comic book coming up October 7th from Albatross. $3.99 is the price point. The Unholy Bastards versus the Future. From the pages of the Goon come those unlovable scamps, the Unholy Bastards. That's right. Smitty, Specs, Pee-wee, Charlene, Roscoe, and Kid Gargantuan in an all-new standalone adventure. When the kids accidentally turn old Rusty, the bike they've assembled from pieces stolen off of other bikes, into a time machine, the little bastards find themselves not only breaking the laws of decency, but also the laws of physics. They're supporting characters in the comic book The Goon, and it's pretty funny. So if you're into The Goon at all, I think you're going to love this. And if you're not, I would definitely check it out because they're always pretty funny. Coming November 25th from Aftershock is The Kaiju Score, which I thought sounded pretty interesting. You know, it's tough enough to plan the perfect heist in the best of conditions, but as it turns out, it's even worse to try to carry off the crime of the century in the middle of a giant monster attack. What I loved about this was that the writer, James Patrick, described the book as basically a Tarantino film taking place in some corner of a Godzilla movie. So think about that. You know, like you're down on this personal perspective where these bank, you know, these bunch of people are trying to rob a bank. And meanwhile, there's a, you know, giant monster, giant lizards, giant flying turtles, and it's the end of the world. So I kind of dig that mashup. I thought that was kind of weird, and it sounds like it's going to be a good time. There's a couple DC comic books coming, and I was going to ask you if I talked about these because I don't really remember much of what I talk about, so I may have mentioned these before. If I did,
I don't re-listen after I record to your segment.
I know, but I was
I can't
like,
stand listening to your voice. So just,
I've never heard an episode.
That compression, so, I don't that new compression that you're using. I don't that newfangled.
Oh, wait, am I in the red zone? I'm sorry. So. Yeah, so I don't remember if I mentioned these, but there's a couple things coming out in October from DC. The first is Legend of the Swamp Thing Halloween Spectacular. See, we're not the only ones with Halloween Spectaculars, Chris. DC invites you to welcome Swamp Thing to your Witching Hour festivities. In this 48-page collection of six all-new stories, the Guardian of the Green reveals past lives and the utter unforgettable horrors that befall those who cross his path. $5.99 coming October 6th. And the other one is DC The Doomed and the Damned. It's an 80-page special, which is cool, for $9.99, coming a week later on October 13th. Basically a bunch of stories featuring a bunch of their superheroes and spine-chilling stories about monsters and mayhem. You've got Batman, Madame Xanadu, Man-Bat, Green Lantern, Etrigan, and my favorite, more and more, my favorite superhero. So if you're into comic books, look for that in mid-October. And a couple of new, I guess, books. I don't know. I was going to say novels, but they're not novels. They're obviously books. First one is called Wax Museum Movies by George Higham. Spanning over a century of cinema and comprised of 127 films, this book analyzes the cinematic incarnations of the uncanniest place on Earth, wax museums. Publicly accessible or hidden away in a maniac's lair, wax museums have provided the perfect settings for film of all genres to thrillingly play out on the big screen since the dawn of cinema. This chronological analysis includes essential behind-the-scenes information in addition to authoritative research comparing the creation of real wax figures to the ones on screen. And the other book is coming from James Aubrey called Vampire Films Around the World, Essays on the Cinematic Undead of 16 Cultures. Vampires are arguably, Chris, the most popular and paradoxical of gothic monsters, life-draining yet passionate, feared but fascinating, dead but immortal. This collection of essays is generously illustrated and ranges across 16 cultures on 5 continents, including various films like Let the Right One In, What We Do in the Shadows, Kronos, and We Are the Night. So look for that if you are into the vampire. All right, Chris, as always, the highlight or low light of the program, it's Fright Flay. So I have reviews of a bunch of movies this month. Redwood Massacre Annihilation, Hawk and Rev, not that Rev, Vampire Slayers, The Good That Devils Do, Uncle Peckerhead, which was what I also like to call Baker when we're off the air. But first up,
hey,
and certainly first and certainly least, Clown Face.
Every small town has its ghost stories and urban legends. Tomorrow will mark the 1-year anniversary since Zoe Bates and Rick Barker were involved in vicious attacks.
Maybe you remember some more details about the murders.
I just feel like I'm going mad.
A deranged serial killer in a clown mask made of human flesh terrorizes a small town with a series of abductions and murders. Neighbors Jenna and Owen search for their missing friend Zoe, who may be the latest victim of this local urban legend known as Clownface. You know, again, a really low-budget, limited film. It was okay. You know, it wasn't anything that really caught my eye or was really overall that entertaining. There's a lot of talking. It's about an hour and a half, and there's really nothing revolutionary. It's another effort to launch sort of this, you know, low-budget franchise, iconic kind of a serial killer idea. The dude is sort of like your prototypical dirty clown haunted house character. The mask is like a mashup, say, it's between like the Joker and Leatherface. So it's like a, you know, like a stitchery kind of a Joker thing. He's in like a white tank top with the suspenders and stuff. So like I said, he looks like maybe a, you know, dime a dozen haunted house clown that you'll see around the country. It was fine. The scenes where the clown killer was on screen were obviously the most entertaining. He has a couple people, you know, sealed off in his little lair, and those are actually lit well. You know, again, you were just talking about blues. You know, there's blues and greens and reds, and they're kind of shot colored lit like a haunted house. So that those were kind of entertaining. But overall, you know, it was so-so. It was kind of forgettable. Moving on to moving on
at the speed of light.
Redwood Massacre Annihilation.
So 10 years ago, my daughter Sarah went on a camping trip with her friends, and she never came home.
I'm a big fan of your work. I know you want to find him as much as I do.
What is it that you have for me that's so important?
The ending to your next best-selling book.
Why is he even here?
Maybe he can help us find the killer.
I mean, whoever did this is long gone by now.
What if he's not?
You're not going back out there. Are you sure you've done this before? Can't say that I was impressed. But on this trip, you listen to me, because I'm in charge.
You really didn't think we'd come out here alone, did you?
You must be Max.
You sure you know what you're getting yourself involved with?
Are you?
I thought this was supposed to be a military base.
You've seen what's back there.
She'll be fine.
She's not the one I'm worried about. Seems like we're not the only ones who want to meet the boogeyman. I knew I should have brought more guns.
Coming October 20th from Uncorked, the greatest thing about this was horror icon Danielle Harris was in this. She comes up against the axe-wielding maniac of Redwood in the sequel to The Redwood Massacre. Now, I never saw The Redwood Massacre, but you don't need to see that to understand this movie. It's basically, the idea is that there was this crazy serial killer out in the woods, murdered a bunch of people, I don't know, 10 years ago. And now there's this guy who comes to a group of bereaved family members who lost people to the serial killer in the first movie to venture out into the wilderness in the hopes of proving the existence of the infamous killer. Their quest for truth sees a sinister turn of events as the hunters become the hunted. This was actually pretty entertaining. What I liked about this was, again, Danielle Harris, you know, I like watching her in anything.
I get it.
I wasn't angry about watching it. Like I said, I haven't seen the first one, so I knew nothing about it, but you can kind of pick up the backstory. What I liked about it in a lot of ways was, you know, it's the typically, oh, we're going to go out in the woods, we're going to find the killer, you know, kind of turn the tables on the serial killer. But what they do is they go out and they find an abandoned Air Force base where he's sort of in this underground bunker. So you kind of get into the almost maybe like a Day of the Dead kind of a situation where you're in this abandoned military kind of a thing. I liked it. You know, I thought the acting was solid. There's one thing with CGI bullets, which irritated me, but otherwise it was, I think the acting carried it. You know, the story is not necessarily revolutionary, but I was pretty entertained by it. So, if you see Redwood Massacre or Annihilation anywhere, maybe check it out. Like I said, I like Danielle Harris. There's a big twist ending, of course, but, I was,
is it a twist or is it plain as friggin' day, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, well, there's a character that's introduced like really late in the game, and I'm looking at her, and I was like, this seems weird. So you might be able to figure it out, but it was, you know, it was enough that I said, oh wow, this, you know, I kind of woke up a little bit from my drunken stupor and go, oh, this wasn't so bad.
You woke up, right, and you're like, wait a minute, I gotta top off my drink. Where are those nips? I have about five little JD nips around here somewhere.
All right. So let's move on. So Hawk and Rev Vampire Slayers.
Santa Muerte has a problem.
Oh, shit.
And this man is the solution.
I just saw some filthy ass vampires.
You stop calling in crazy stuff in the middle of the night. In exchange, I'm not going to arrest you.
He's dedicated.
201's vacant.
Not anymore, it's not. It's filled with a bunch of these guys and their beady black eyes and bloody mouths.
He's angry.
So this is all temporary, right?
And he's homeless.
First off, no hurting or killing.
But even he has a friend.
What the heck is that?
My secret stake. I always carry it.
And even he gets lucky sometimes.
Wow, never been booty called to a tent before.
You think she's a double agent?
I think she was definitely pumping me for information.
Hawk and Rev. Together, they will make this town safe again.
Where'd you find this guy?
Even if it means...
Strip.
What?
Putting their ass on the line. Even if they can't quite do it on their own.
Look at this.
That's oil. I think I sharted.
Oh, God.
Hawk and Rev. Vampire Slayers.
I've always bitched about horror comedies in the past. Like, I'm not necessarily a fan of horror comedy because I think it's really hard to pull off, because most of the times it just irritates me because I just don't think it's funny. I watched this and I gotta say, I was like, I thought this was like Hauntcast the movie in terms of like just how juvenile and ridiculous and over the top this was.
Like an opium joint in here.
So the whole thing is about this guy named Philip Hawk Hawkins, right? So all he dreams about is killing vampires. So apparently he was kicked out of the army because he thought his one of his fellow soldiers was a vampire, so he kills him. So then he goes to jail. He gets out of jail. He becomes a security guard at this old shitty warehouse in his hometown. Then he thinks like the next door neighbors are vampires. So he enlists his friend, who's the janitor, this dude named Rev, to help him. Then they find this weird army guy to help them out. And then they go and they have this whole list where they have to find different things to try to kill the vampires. And they end up meeting this other woman who helps them in their quest. And it was this over the top comedy, maybe like along the lines of Ash versus the Evil Dead, or, you know, kind of that kind of a vibe where you've got these three kind of lovable losers that are going out and they're fighting vampires and it's just completely over the top. I would say it ran out of steam kind of towards the end. I was kind of like, all right, well, I kind of get all the jokes. But I don't know. I said to you, you probably may have a completely different opinion of it. I watched it and I laughed. Like, there was just a lot that made me laugh. It was really, really juvenile. I think if you have the sense of humor of a 15-year-old boy like I do, I laughed a lot, probably more than I wanted to. But I, you know, this is one of those movies where the fast cuts didn't bother me, the asinine jokes didn't bother me, the ridiculousness of the situations didn't bother me, because I actually like that a lot of the actors were pretty competent actors and they were deliberately playing it straight, even the most ridiculous of situations. So I laughed out loud. You know, like I said, I thought this was pretty funny.
Yeah. I thought it had kind of a Clerks vibe. That's got like maybe, yes, even Clerks too. Like the guy, Hawk kind of reminded me of Randall a bit from Clerks. I kind of, just a complete fucking loser, but just so confident in himself in that respect. You know, like, I thought he did a great job. Like, he did a fine bit of acting, trying to maintain that total, like, loser douchebag guy the whole way through.
Right, and it's sort of like Adam West in the, you know, Batman series from the 60s, where it's like he's literally playing this so confidently straight, and you're like, oh my god, what? But yeah, I laughed a lot during this movie.
I did. It was, you know, a lot of fart and dick jokes and all kinds of juvenile nonsense.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I felt right at home. I was
that, and that's what I said. I was like you were like, are there any movies I should watch? And I was like, I was going to say to you, watch this because it was like Hauntcast the movie. But I'm like, I'm going to save that for the show just in case you like completely hated it. But I don't know. I laughed. So
no, not every joke landed, but no, I laughed consistently throughout the movie. And I was amused enough at these characters. One funny thing is the coincidence here is that it's Rev and Hawk. Now, our Revenant, his email address is PJ Hawk.
Right?
I thought, dude, that was right. So oddly, you know, like a quinky dink. PJ Hawk, Rev, that was funny.
But I was going to say, too, kudos to that guy that played the Rev character. He cracked me up a lot. There's that running joke where when they encounter this other army vet that Hawk knows, that they enlist to try to help them destroy the undead. He has an eye patch. Do you know that whole thing where he's like, are you looking at my eye? He's like, I'm sorry. No, I'm not looking. I'm sorry. I looked at your eye. And he kept saying, he's like, I looked at your eye again. And the guy, like, and he's got those giant, like, magnified glasses and the eyes. And he's like, he makes like the craziest
expression. It's got that stupidest, like, smile. Like a squishy smile expression on his face the whole time. It's like, are you serious?
All right, let's...
And if you like Honcast, you're probably going to like that.
That's what that movie. And that's what I was going to say. If you kind of accept our ridiculousness, or if you don't, if you want to complain about us online, feel free. The next movie is called The Good That Devils Do.
Are you going to do a show this year?
I promise I will have something for you. Something that just might be the prize piece of my entire collection. I call her... Masquerade.
The Holly brothers will be very happy that you decided to help them, Richard.
I've earned the right to walk away on my own terms.
Of course you have. This will be fast and easy.
I'm not doing this alone. You know I have a partner.
You mean your daughter?
It's a smuggler's house on Halloween. We're not sneaking in.
They have Linnea Quigley, Kane Hodder, and Bill Oberst Jr. They're all in the movie, and it's kind of hard to explain. There's kind of like two separate groups of characters that all kind of come together in the middle of the movie. So it starts off with this group of gangsters, and the father figure, his name's Richard. He wants to retire before he can. There's one last job. He has to go to this house and steal money from a rival gangster. Now, meanwhile, on the other side of town, which is the house that apparently is the target, Melvin is a reluctant family man who has dreams of becoming a famous curator for his Museum of the Macabre. He just acquired the remains of the notorious Masquerade, a vampire born of the embers of hell, slain centuries ago. Then, on Halloween night, both groups of these characters come together, their paths collide, and they are forced to work together to fight a centuries-old evil with everything on the line. This was another one that I kind of liked, again, because you did have some named people in it. Kane Hodder plays like this real nasty son of a bitch killer, really over the top, really disgustingly gross. Linnea Quigley plays the wife of the character who is trying to open this scary museum in his house. And the thing that I really, really dug about it was, of course, it's set on Halloween night. So you've got the whole town is coming out trick-or-treating, and you've got, obviously, the different characters dressed in costume. The houses are decorated. The robbers come to the house dressed in costume, so you've got that whole effect. And then you've got this vampire that gets reincarnated, comes back to life, and then starts killing everyone. And the remaining survivors from the home invasion kind of aspect have to team up to try to beat the vampire. You know, nothing revolutionary, but certainly entertaining. You know, there was a lot of good stuff. There were some really good practical effects, too. The vampires' effects were very, very good. The makeup was very good. There's a lot of blood. There's a lot of killing. So this, again, if you could catch it for free, I kind of had fun with it because, again, I just love the Halloween setting. And, you know, the acting's a little so-so, but you kind of see some of these horror icons at work, which was fun. I thought Hodder really did a good job. But overall, again, this is another one that I was like, I was satisfied enough that I spent the hour and a half with these characters. And I kind of dug this one.
You actually had a couple that you liked. Well, I'm sorry, 3 out of 4? How many did you review?
I told you, I don't remember anything. All right. The last movie I want to cover... this had come out, and I'm a little late to the game, so some people have already probably seen it, but it's called Uncle Peckerhead.
band meeting. 6 shows, 7 days.
And what do you guys need a band for?
So that our band can go on tour.
I can drive y'all. Every touring band needs a roadie, don't they?
Sorry, I didn't get your name.
My name's Peckerhead.
That is not your name.
It's tour time.
We gotta move, let's go! What could be taking him so long? Hello?
Every night at midnight, I turn into something.
Who's to say it wouldn't be one of us next time?
I am in complete control.
You know, it's funny, when we were trying to figure out names for you a long time ago, I gave you Uncle Bad Todd as a suggestion. You know, I kind of wish I would have suggested Uncle Peckerhead, because that even would have been, you know, even better. Maybe in the next incarnation of your life, Chris, if you ever, you know, want to do something else, maybe you could be Uncle Peckerhead. What do you think?
Dude, I remember in the 70s, I had a friend who used to call everybody a peckerhead.
Sure. I think that was like, yeah.
Everybody was like calling everybody a peckerhead, and it was like, yeah. It just went away. It just disappeared.
Well, it's like 7th and 8th grade. Well, why don't we bring that back?
Maybe I'll have to rename this episode.
Uncle Peckerhead?
I'm going all the way.
You go, boy. You go. All right. So when a punk band scores their first tour, life on the road proves tough when they are joined by a man-eating demon as their roadie. That's pretty much all you need to know. It's about 1 hour 20. Super low budget. Again, horror comedy. But, I am getting soft in my old age. I like this movie. I had a good time
with
this.
What is going on?
I don't know. I apparently either my meds are off or they're on. I'm not sure which it is. But this was, it actually made me laugh. This is another one where I thought the characters were likable enough. I thought the acting was, you know, solid enough. The story, you know, it again, it's like the idea is, there's this local band in this little town in Jersey, and it's a three part band, two chicks and a dude, and they are going on their first quote unquote tour. But literally, it's like, you know, they're going to drive their van around like, you know, 7 little towns in, you know, a week and try to play. So the idea is that they want to come back to their hometown and get an opening spot on the venue in their town to kind of introduce their band. So their van gets stolen. They're trying to find another van. This older dude says, oh, yeah, you could use my van. But it turns out he's also, you know, spoilers, a demon. So at midnight every night, he turns into a demon. So that, you know, kind of causes some consternation among some of the band members. But then it's played for comedy effect. And then, you know, they have all these like, crazy adventures. Then it takes a dark turn at the end. And it's kind of a weird kind of a vibe. But again, much like the Revan Hawk movie, I almost felt like this could have been a pilot for a show in a lot of ways. You know, they wrapped this one up, you know, not open-ended like the Revan Hawk movie. But, you know, again, harmless enough, mindlessly entertaining, doesn't really change your life, doesn't add anything to discussion about horror. But if you're just looking for something kind of mindless and kind of with some music and... there are some good effects. It's not horror centric. Like I said, it's more focused on these four characters and the sort of this little road trip that they take on their tour. But when the dude does turn into a demon, some good practical effects, some good blood. Oh, and there's at one point the demon, spoilers again, but I love this one. The demon dude eats somebody and then it disagrees with him and he has explosive diarrhea over a whole room of people, which was awesome. So you've got music, you've got demons, and you've got explosive demonic diarrhea, which I'm sure has affected all of us at one point or another during our lives, or perhaps several times a week, you know, in my case. But anyway,
or
so
the over under bathroom.
Well, that's not explosive diarrhea. That's projectile.
Oh, that's right. It was coming out the other way. I'm sorry. I get these things mixed up.
Yeah, like I said, so if we start a band, Chris, I think I want to call it explosive demonic diarrhea, but our first single is going to be projectile vomiting. So
excellent!
Now all we have to do is learn how to play instruments.
Yeah,
and sing.
I mean, like you know, I said, I could sing. That doesn't take much talent, does it? I guess. I don't know.
Kick you in the balls and have you sing in soprano.
Well, I was going to say, you play the skin flute. I mean, you can play that, right?
You play the trombona, you know, so...
Oh man. So I guess that's that. So like I said, I don't know. I thought everything was pretty decent this month. So go check them out.
Yeah, you got things to watch. Get busy, people.
And as always, everybody, thank you for listening. This is Johnny Thunder saying happy Halloween and stay scary.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.